reforms, we're ready.
We will call the HESS committee meeting together. It is April 24th at 3:05. Please turn off your cell phones if anyone in the audience has one. And the legislators present for, we have a quorum, and that's Representative Newman, Representative Seaton, Representative Roses, and myself, Representative Wilson. I have my committee aide, Becky Rooney, she's just coming in the door there. And our secretary is Kelly Burnett, and our moderator is Luke Wooder. And order of the business today will be, I think we've got a couple ones that are going to be short ones, House Bill 192 and SJR 3, and then we will do House Bill number 4. And we will not run over 5 o'clock because we were very fortunate that the Resources Committee Chairman let us out of AGIA so that we could come and have our meeting, and then we're gonna have to go back. So at 5 o'clock sharp, we will adjourn. And we're going to hear HB 192, layoff and non-retention of teachers by Representative Dugan. And if you'd like to come forward and present your bill, we're ready to hear it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Mike Dugan. I represent House District 25 in Anchorage. Thanks for hearing this bill. This is, as the finance co-chairmen are fond of saying on the floor, a simple bill. And I hope it doesn't have the complications some of the things they make that claim for actually have. What it does is it would change the timing of the notification of non-retention for tenured teachers. Generally speaking, the law handles teachers in two groups, tenured and non-tenured. If a tenured teacher is to be laid off, the state law requires that notification be sent out before March the 16th. For non-tenured teachers, that date is generally the end of the school year. Tenure is something that's acquired in a fairly straightforward way. It requires that a teacher have 3 years in the same district and get a good evaluation. And once that happens, you have tenure. Generally speaking, the tenure protections in Alaska law are about the question of reasons that a teacher can be deprived of their job. And there are several of them. One of them is this question of whether or not there's enough money in the budget to keep everybody on. And generally speaking, the law requires that a district run through, if it's doing layoffs, run through all of its non-tenured teachers first before it gets to the tenured teachers. There are some exceptions based on sort of the qualifications of teachers, but generally speaking, that's the procedure. What happens then is if a school district finds itself without a sufficient budget or not knowing what its budget is going to be, as is often the case, what they will do is wait until the end of the school term and lay off non-tenured teachers. If you have a lot of non-tenured teachers, that's a system that works for you. District like Anchorage now, they didn't used to have a lot of non-tenured teachers because of a early retirement program they went through, now has enough non-tenured teachers that it doesn't have to really worry about the tenured teacher question. Several other districts are like that. But then there are districts like Valdez, which on the 15th of the month this year had to lay off 3 tenured teachers because they weren't sure that they were going to get the budget that they needed to be able to maintain their teaching force at the level that it was at. Very often this occurs not because there's not enough money, but simply because the school district doesn't know if it has enough money. Members will recognize that despite the fact there's been a lot of discussion about forward funding education, the situation we find ourselves in this year is more typical, which is we're well past the 15th of March and we still haven't really settled the question of what education funding is going to be. So what this bill would do would be to change that non-retention date for tenured teachers from the 15th of March to the end of the school year to try to avoid situations like the one that the Valdez School District finds itself in, where it would rather keep these three teachers, but because of the budget situation, is forced to pink slip them. They were in my office yesterday and said they hope that they're all still there if they get the money and are able to hire them back, but there's really no guarantee of that. If you are a teacher who gets a pink slip, even if people in the district are telling you really will hire you back on, you're never quite sure. Just as we're not exactly sure what the final budget numbers are going to be here, they're not either. And sometimes districts lose teachers that they want to keep as a result of this. So this is an attempt to take what is essentially an artifact. This provision for March the 15th has been in state law as long as there's been a state, and to try and adapt it to a situation in which, frankly, the state's budget calendar doesn't meet the calendar that's set forth in the statutes. And with that, I'll be happy to try and answer any questions anybody has.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We received a letter from Josh Miller. I'd received a letter from Josh Miller. It says, please do not change existing law. If it works, don't fix it. This is a person, a teacher with 20 years of teaching in rural and urban Alaska, and he thinks that it's the way what we've got with the March 15 deadline is the best interest of all parties. And he says, if you have children in school, want to be assured there's a high quality, highly qualified teacher ready and committed to that you should not mess with the layoff date. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think everybody would like to have high quality teachers for their children, but I think a situation in which you're simply because of, you know, a relatively arbitrary set of dates in the statutes, you're introducing uncertainty into the question of whether or not you're going to have that teacher is not a good situation. If we were forward funding education, we wouldn't have to change this at all. We wouldn't even have to talk about it because everybody would know long before March 15th whether the money was there to retain these teachers. As it is now, it's kind of a guessing game.
And just a second, I do want to recognize that Representative Fairclough has joined us, yes. And Representative Cisna also has joined us. So, and Gardner, sorry, you guys just kind of snuck in there. So, follow up, Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Also, Representative Dugan, I contacted one of the principals in my district, one of the larger schools, and we talked about how you could look at both sides of this issue if you were an administrator or if you were a teacher. If you were a teacher, he said you probably wouldn't like this bill. If you were an administrator, you probably would, because it allows the administrator more time to work with a teacher who maybe is not happy, to try and make sure that he can get him back or whatever the case may be, recognize those needs. But a teacher would like to know what's going on. So there's a balancing act. You're on the edge of the sword here.
Right.
You can fall on the side of the teachers, fall on the side of the administrators. Well, how do you think that this drops?
I tell you what, let's ask Representative Roses first, and then we'll let you respond.
Thank you. I would love to respond to both of those questions
that
you asked.
If I could hear from the sponsor first, and then maybe we could hear from
them. Well, I've made the decision, so thank you. We'll go ahead and have Representative Roses.
What happens in regards to the letter that you received from the individual that says, if it's working, don't change it? The problem is it isn't working. And when the concern was that we want to make sure that we have a qualified, experienced teacher in the classroom, that's what this bill is intending to do. The real truth of the matter is what happens is when there's uncertainty in the budget, you end up having to give notices, as was mentioned with the three teachers in the Valdez School District. Then those teachers have a decision to make. Starting on March 15th, when I've been given an official certified letter stating that I may not be retained, I have a choice. Do I hang out in Valdez and wait until the budget comes in and see if I've got a job? Or do I take one of the other 20 potential offers that I've had in other districts or in other states? So am I going to take my chances of not working, or am I going to guarantee that I have employment for me and my family? And that's the problem we've run into in the past when we've given people pink slips, of we've lost them. And it wasn't because they didn't want them. It wasn't because they weren't good teachers. It was because there was uncertainty for funding. And then when we've had this body, you know, the legislature, not pass education funding until the last day of the session or until the last week of session, it's way beyond the deadline. You have to then go back and reissue. And there's a formal process that you have to go through to reissue and retract that non-retention notice. And so it requires another certified letter. More often than not, it requires having a meeting with the employees. The teachers' union representatives are involved in the discussion from the time that the process goes out until the time you reinstate. And then when you reinstate, there's a specific order in which you have to reinstate. It is a very cumbersome, very difficult process to go through, and more often than not, most of those that are laid off always get hired back. But the question is, during that 3 months, how many are we going to lose as a result of that? And so I understand where the sponsor of this bill is going, and when it's appropriate, I have an amendment I'd like to offer that I think gets us a little bit closer to where I think we need to be, because this language, I think, does enter into some labor agreements and some labor concerns where some of the unions may have issues over changing the date. But what I want to capture is, if we're doing it for the purposes of funding, that the amendment I want to offer will maybe address that. And so that's what I would have.
Okay, and Representative Dugan, do you have anything to add to answer Representative Newman's question?
Thank you, Madam Chair, through the Chair, Representative Newman. It's not really my intent to try to tip the balance, whatever balance might exist between teachers and administrators with this bill. I'm simply trying to recognize the fact that we put districts and therefore some tenured teachers in a pretty difficult position when we require notification by the 15th of March, essentially, but we don't tell them what their final budget is going to be until the 15th of May or whenever it is. So,
okay. Representative Seaton and then Representative Gardner.
Thank you. And Representative Dugan, I'm curious as to whether you've talked to tenured teachers about this, because as Representative Rosas just mentioned, he said they had 15 or 20 job offers. Well, the reason they had those offers, if they got laid off, is because the job fairs for teachers are in April. And what you're saying here is you're going to have the teachers that we value, and we're not going to let them know when job solicitations are going out, when job fairs are going. We're going to wait until the end of the school year, till after the job fairs have been up, and then we're going to notice, oh, guess what, you don't have a job. And so, at least the comments that I have you had those concerns expressed to you?
Yeah, there have been some concerns. I'm sorry, Madam Chair, sorry.
Go ahead, Representative.
Thank you, Representative Seaton. There have been those concerns expressed, and this is a situation, I think, on which reasonable people can disagree. I think it's relatively more common than not, in terms of tenured teachers, that what happens is that they get caught in the budget crunch rather than any real attempt to get rid of them. And if that's the case, then, you know, the fact of the matter is they can go to the job fairs anytime they want if they're unhappy. If they're happy where they are, then I don't think we should send them to the job fairs unless we are certain that there's really not a place for them. And we can't know that by the 15th of March. And so that's the reasoning behind the bill.
Okay. Representative Gardner.
Thank you. Representative Rosa said more often than not, most of those that are laid off get hired back. And I'm sort of curious. I mean, we know that we do lose teachers who don't want to wait to find out, and they need to have some certainty in their futures. But do we have any idea how often the teachers who get pink slip notices actually are not offered a position back?
I can't answer that question definitively. I do know, sorry, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
I do know that in the Anchorage School District, they make every attempt in the cases where they're forced by budget circumstances to lay off even non-tenured teachers, that they make every attempt to hire those teachers back if they have got the money to do that. At one time Anchorage had a lot of experience with this. There were layoffs of teachers, of more than 150, I think, at least once. And when they finally got the budget part of it straightened out and were able to rehire, they lost, I forget what it was, 10, 15, 20% of them, I think, to in situations where they just couldn't wait or didn't want to wait or decided that it was time to make a move. But generally speaking, if the teacher is performing satisfactorily, then the district is going to try and hire that teacher back when it has the opportunity to do that. Whether or not the teacher's still there to be hired back is really an individual decision as much as anything else.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm trying to get clear in my mind here just about what we're talking about, because we have an amendment that was offered by Representative Roses, I think, but it says Representative Dugan. We have a bill by Representative Dugan.
Well, we haven't got the amendment yet, so.
Okay, but I'm just trying to figure out where we're supposed to be trying to ask questions on or where. Just
the bill. We're on the bill right now. Representative Roses?
Yes. I just wanted to clarify one point. It isn't always that the job fair is where some of these teachers will go if they get a non-tenure, if they get a layoff notice in March, they go to the job fairs in April. I can tell you, when I was president of the Anchorage Education Association and we had areas that were difficult to recruit, we tracked information from all over the United States on places that happened. And there was a time during my 4 years as president of AEA that we heard about the budget problems that Buffalo, New York was having. We heard about the problems that Portland, Oregon was having. And within days, the recruiters from the Anchorage School District were on a plane to those school districts recruiting. We picked up 22 teachers from Portland, and we picked up 17 from Buffalo because they were not sure if they were going to be hired back. They wanted certainty. They signed on. We got them. So those school districts, if their money was reinstated, now had a situation where they had to hire, and what we hired were the ones in areas of extreme critical need, special education teachers, math teachers, and so on. And so we ended up doing very well those years in recruiting. But I feel sorry for those districts if their money came back. Now they were in a problem of trying to do what we were trying to do for 3 years, and that was recruit highly qualified people that we couldn't get.
And one thing I might make a comment, especially if a school is losing students, because they're really in a pickle because they don't know, they know that they're going to have less than they had last year if the funding stays the same because they don't have as many children the next year. So it's really, really critical. And if they have to issue those pink slips and then the legislature increases the funding, they wouldn't have had to, and now they lost them. And so it's very critical, and also there is something to look at, and that this is debatable, I'm sure, but why is it fair to give pink slips to tenured teachers, but well, heck with the untenured ones, they don't get them until the end of the school year, So there's an inequity there, but. Anyway, Representative, did you have a question?
Well, yes. And I received a letter that talked about the bill making it easier to lay off teachers on the last day of school, and really was looking at it, and I'm not sure how that would work, but I think it's reasonable if people have questions to try to address them, I can see the advantages that people have talked about. I do wonder, coming from the point of view of a teacher who has not been given any kind of notice, that there might be a chance that they're going to be given a pink slip to suddenly receive it at the end, the last day of school. And I'm just wondering what the practices of school districts are, if in fact they talk about these problems, or if it's something that doesn't get discussed on the in terms of the staff. Maybe the department maybe could answer that kind of question, because I'd like to know what the practices are, and I'm assuming they must track it. Yes. Maybe?
Anybody from education department? Doesn't look like it. Okay. Representative
Seaton. Yeah. And I'm, you know, we're talking about pink slips and all, and isn't it the case that almost all of the pink slips that are handed out across the state are for non-tenured teachers, and they're handed out early, and that's generally a conscious decision by school districts to let people know so that there'll be a lot of input and a lot of telephone calls and a lot of consternation down here in Juneau to increase funding. And I know that it's been very difficult talking with many of those. They're, almost all the pink slips that I know of that go out are non-tenured teachers, and there's no requirement to give them pink slips, but that's a political move that takes place. And this isn't all this is going to do, or isn't this just going to put tenured teachers in the same position as non-tenured, and there's nothing that prevents the school district from sending out those early pink slips?
Representative Dugan.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. It depends on what the mix of tenured and non-tenured teachers is in a district. I personally wouldn't want to accuse school districts of playing politics here, but generally speaking, the rule is that if you have to lay off teachers, if you're a school district and you have to lay off teachers, you have to lay off all your non-tenured teachers before you lay off any tenured teachers. That's the way that works, and we've had situations in Anchorage, as I'm sure some of the members will recall, where we've laid off bunches of non-tenured teachers as a budgetary matter. The districts that get caught in a bind here have two characteristics generally. They're smaller districts, and they have a relatively high proportion of tenured teachers to non-tenured teachers. So when they figure out that they've got when they sort of take a look at the money that they think they're going to get or whatever's on the table right now in the legislature, they have to make a decision about who to pink slip. They don't have to give a pink slip to the non-tenured teachers if they don't want to, but they might do that. But then they do have to pink slip some tenured teachers because doesn't look like they have enough money on the table. And that's really the situation that this is intended to address.
Representative Rosen.
Thank you. Go ahead, before I do my member.
I'm sorry, I didn't. Representative.
Going to join the choir that I understand that it's difficult. One, Representative Wilson, as you spoke about the inequity between tenured teachers receiving a pink slip and non-tenureds having to wait till the end of the school year. And I just find it interesting that we're having a discussion on a 90-day session, and this particular matter, to my knowledge, hasn't been brought up as part of moving it to February versus pulling it back and starting it in January, possibly a little bit earlier. But the bottom line for me, with my experience as an elected official, is it is a political process. People are issued pink slips when they know darn good and well that the state is in a process, and that 9 times out of 10 education is at least flat funded. So the hundreds of people that receive pink slips are inappropriately upset and called sort of to march against the political body when they haven't really had a time to process. And so I'm in support of the concept of having teachers wait until the end of the school year. It would be wonderful if we could get to a position to forward fund education so all teachers know that they're secure in their positions and that they can come back to their classrooms and function well. And, you know, I understand that change is hard, and I have been getting Representative Sisson, Representative Newman, I had 4 or 5 emails today in people that are in opposition to the change, but the bottom line is it's used as a political tool, which I think is inappropriate, and I think those that are serving at this level of government want to make sure that we do the right thing for all of our teachers, and pink slips is not one of them to go out. schools, if they know they're going to let people go, could still notify earlier for non-tenured teachers. But what this would do is set up a standard that is equitable for all teachers to provide that notice, and certainly